Have you heard anything about this thing that they call fake news? It started a couple of years ago, I guess. Political parties and newsrooms sometimes accuse each other and of, what do they call it? Spinning the news story to kind of make it fit the narrative that you want and to do it to those other guys, whoever the other guys are. Well, in today's gospel, the Pharisees, who were a powerful and influential political party in their own day, well, they're trying to do the same thing to that guy, Jesus. They didn't like his activity, his ongoing efforts, so they plotted to destroy him. Starting with his reputation and credibility, and eventually to take his life. Well, the issue today is the Sabbath. And while abuses of the Sabbath are common, Jesus sets the record straight. He directs our attention to the gospel, the good news of who he is and what he's going to do for us, what he does for us. So, on this particular Sabbath day, the news of the day was the disciples. Mark tells us that they were making their way through the grain field. And as they were going through the grain field, they were collecting the grain in their hands, just kind of running their fingers through the grain, collecting the heads of grain in their hands, rubbing it together, getting rid of the chaff. And eating the grain, which, by the way, was allowed in the book of Moses, in the law of Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy. But they were doing it on the Sabbath day. So is this a violation of the Sabbath? And you heard the earlier reading of the Old Testament from Deuteronomy about the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. First time we hear that is in Exodus 20, verse 10. The Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I created the world. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. I created the whole world in 6 days and rested on the Sabbath. Therefore, the seventh day is holy to you. Remember it. Keep it holy. And here in Deuteronomy, he comes back and says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. With an outstretched arm, with a mighty hand, like Chris's hand, when he shakes my hand, that's a mighty hand. Mine's not so mighty. And an outstretched arm, what did he do? He delivered you from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt. Salvation. Where you had to work 7 days a week. The Lord didn't deliver you from slavery in Egypt to put you into another slavery. Well, we're going to do a little experiment here. In Jesus' day, there was a bit of a dispute about healing on the Sabbath day. So the Pharisees here, they're trying to trap Jesus. Which side is he going to take? On the one hand, there are those who believe, go ahead and heal on the Sabbath. You know, it's first things first. Heal on the Sabbath is a good thing. Okay? On the other hand, there are those who said, well, don't go healing on the Sabbath because what was healing in those days? What was medicine in those days? It was going to find a locust's egg or a jackal's tooth, and carrying that around on, well, I don't know what you did with it. Don't ask me that. But those who said, don't heal on the Sabbath, were saying, don't follow those superstitions of the Amorites who tell you to go collect locust eggs and jackal's teeth. So, Jesus, which is it? Heal on the Sabbath day or don't heal? Jesus answers with far greater wisdom, I think. He kind of says, y'all are missing the point. The same thing about disciples collecting grain on the Sabbath. Because reaping is one of those 39 things that's prohibited from work on the Sabbath. Don't collect your grain on the Sabbath. Don't thresh your grain. Reap it and thresh it. And Jesus says, remember David? David, how when he was being chased by Saul and fearing for his life, being chased, he didn't have any food. So what does he do? He goes into the temple in those days before it was in Jerusalem. So I guess it would be the tabernacle. And in those days, they had a table near the altar with what was called the bread of the presence. Bread that was there to show the presence of God in his tabernacle. Okay? The presence of God with his people, providing their daily bread. That was there. It was only for the priests to eat. Well, David comes in, eats it, and gives it to his disciples, his followers. And Jesus says, he was hungry and he needed this. They needed it. They ate the bread of the presence of God. And he says, the Sabbath was not, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Right? It's for your good. So here, in the presence of Jesus, who calls himself the bread of heaven, he says, the Son of Man has come. The Son of Man, who is the Messiah, the promised one. And you guys aren't getting it. You're not seeing it. This sermon could be easily kind of misinterpreted. It's like, remember the Sabbath day. Okay, Pastor, this is going to be a sermon about coming to church. Or it could be a sermon on having a good work-life balance. You know, make sure you take your vacation. Make sure you don't work 7 days a week every day of the year. It's not good for you. If that's the message that you take from today's sermon, well, maybe you'll have a better work-life balance. Maybe you won't have a heart attack as soon as you otherwise might. But it won't make any eternal difference for you. That's not why you come here on Sunday. The reason you come here is to receive the presence of Christ. For us, the bread of the presence is you receive in the Holy Sacrament. The presence that gives you forgiveness. Forgiveness for thinking poorly about those who aren't here with you. They should be, you think. Or forgiveness for guilt, like, oh, I know so-and-so should be here, and it's my responsibility. They're not here. I feel bad about that. I need forgiveness. This sermon could be about all the sort of lame excuses. I have a great illustration for that. There's a guy who was a fundraiser for a college. And he approaches a donor and says, would you like to donate to the college this year? And the prospective donor, who's a very wealthy guy and philanthropist, says, no, I'm not going to donate to the college this year. He says, why? Well, because I don't like strawberries. The guy says, well, what does that have to do with anything? And the donor says, well, if you don't want to do something, any old excuse will do. So if you don't like strawberries, okay. The point is, it's a lame excuse, right? What excuse do we have for not coming here? And really, it doesn't matter what the excuse is or what the point is. The point is that we're not coming to hear God's word, which is what we need. That's what we come here to receive, God's word. That's the bread of the presence for us. A word of forgiveness that says you are healed from the thing that bothers you, from the thing that you think, there's no way the Lord can forgive me for this. I don't understand why. Let's talk about suffering. I don't understand why I'm suffering. Lord, show me the way. You guys are the sufferers today. You guys, maybe you feel like things are going right in my life and I don't understand that. How come you singled me out for that, Lord? How come everybody seems to be suffering around me and you let me off the hook? I don't understand that either. You feel guilty about that. Which side would you rather be in this dispute? Suffering and not understanding why, or not suffering and not understanding why? That's why the Lord came. Take a look at the man with the withered hand. Is it right to heal on the Sabbath or not? Is it work to heal on the Sabbath? Are you following superstitions? How did we get this rule about even wondering whether it's okay to heal on the Sabbath? Well, here's where the former lawyer in me comes out. So there was this rule about carrying a burden. In Jeremiah 17, he says, don't carry a burden on the Sabbath day, which means they interpreted it to mean taking something from one domain, from say inside your house, to outside your house and putting it down. Okay? If you do that, you've done work. All right? You can't do that. So, human beings being what they are, well, Rabbi, is it okay if I reach through the window and put it down outside? Is that okay? No, that's work. Well, what if I'm outside? Can I reach in the window and bring it out and put it down? No, that's work. So all the bright, young, enterprising lawyers think, well, how can we do this? Well, what if there's a guy outside and I reach through the window and he takes that out of my hand? Is that completing a job? Is that work? No, that's still work. Well, can he reach inside and can I give it to him? That's still work. Well, what do I do? Let's say it's a poor man and I'm giving him bread. The rule was you could reach outside and hold the bread in your hand. The poor man could take it out of your hand. That wouldn't be work. Neither of you would have done work. So you wouldn't have to offer a sin offering or be stoned if you did it on purpose. So, when Jesus says to the man with the withered hand today, he says, stretch out your hand. And it's like the Pharisees are expecting, okay, they're going to do this kind of, you know, you on one side, me on the other. Jesus says, stretch out your hand. And what happens? The man stretches out his hands to Jesus, his withered hand, without which he couldn't do any work anyway. And Jesus heals him. Jesus heals him. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, I delivered you out of slavery from Egypt. Our Lord Jesus Christ, with his mighty arms outstretched, delivered you from all the lame excuses that you and I have for despising God's word and not wanting to hear it. From all the guilt of the suffering that we suffer and the suffering that we suffer from not suffering. For all the healing that we need, he has delivered us. Because when he made his way through the grain fields, he was on his way to the cross to deliver you out of slavery from sin and death and hell to life. Life which he gives you. Life which he says, I give you this, and we hold it in as a treasure in jars of clay. Our bodies are jars of clay, which aren't going to last forever. But the life that is within you, the life that is given you in your baptism, the forgiveness and healing that God gives you with his presence, the presence of Jesus, his word of forgiveness and life for you, that you receive in his presence in Holy Communion, that's for you. That's for eternity. No matter how long your jar lasts. And you're going to get a new one too, by the way. An eternal one. So don't leave here today thinking, well, the pastor preached a good sermon about taking enough time off from work. Leave here today knowing that you have come in the presence of the Almighty. Not to give you an obligation and judgment, but forgiveness, peace, and rest in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.